so much fun on a radio show.
Fun within prescribed limits.
Live from the Nashville Sports Radio Studios.
The government and parents everywhere, they tried to ban it.
This is the George Plaster Show.
He's a fine man.
He's a great broadcaster.
Brought to you by Bart Durham Injury Law. Call George now at 615-844-5600 and online at WNSR.com.
He's a very powerful guy.
And now, here's the man, the myth, the legend, George Plaster.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome in on a beautiful and hot Monday in Nashville, Tennessee. We got a good show for you with a lot of stuff swirling around right now. So let's get right to it. Let's say hello to Watson Brown, who joins us from up on the plateau. Watson, how are you?
Hot, George. That humidity, it came back, didn't it, bud?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you knew it would.
It's back.
Yes.
This is what I remember in two-a-day practices right here. This is the type of day I'm used to.
Steam bath.
Steam baths.
Yeah.
Especially in Birmingham, Alabama. You're talking about a steam bath.
Oh, yeah.
It was a steam bath.
When it gets hot in Birmingham, it gets hot.
It's hot.
Let's check in up in Westmoreland, Tennessee, with one Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com. Terry, how are you?
I'm also very warm up here.
Are you?
Yes.
I'm shocked.
Yes, it's very humid today.
So, guys, let's get right to the story that is swirling around all over the place. The rumor got out about 2 hours ago, although apparently not true for the moment, that the Big Ten is bagging college football in the fall. Now, Watson, I don't have any doubt that that ultimately is going to be the answer. Supposedly, they haven't done it yet. I have thought throughout the weekend that all of this is going to go down, but that the plan would be that all five of the Power Fives, the Strachis, the Bundinis, the Tattaglias, that they would all basically announce it simultaneously.
George, and I think the Big Ten realized what they pulled the first go around probably wasn't smart, in that they didn't let the others know what they're going to do. And from what I understand from talking to these different conferences, that happened. So I think they're trying to not let that happen again. It's going to get interesting. I just don't know that you're going to see the SEC or the ACC jump on real quick. I just don't see it. Maybe I'm wrong. For the first time, I'm 50-50 or lower that we're going to play. And you know I've been positive with it all the way through. They're going to figure out a way. George, I just don't know. And give the MAC credit. I know we're going to try to have our man on again, but give the
yes,
MAC credit.
Yes, by the way, Watson, let me stop you there. MAC Commissioner John Steinbrecher, Wednesday at 2:20, to go through all of the decision-making process that ultimately had his conference say, uh-uh.
Yeah, and the reason I say give him credit, the worst thing I think has gone on through all this, George, is up and down, up and down, up and down. We're playing, we're not. We're playing, we're not. No leadership, not a set time to do this or do that. And at least, right or wrong, they made the decision through their presidents, and they've gone with it.
Terry, isn't it amazing that the MAC, which obviously, you know, the MAC serves oftentimes as a Big Ten feeder. Big Ten needs a game. They offer the MAC some money, and it's always at the Big Ten stadium. And the MAC has had to get very creative to get games on television, going to that Tuesday and Wednesday night stuff in November. But isn't it interesting that on Friday or Saturday, whenever their announcement came down, all of a sudden everybody said, oh, crap, here we go.
Yeah, that is very interesting. And I think, you know, the thing that's going to come out of this, in my opinion, guys, is that if the Big Ten and, say, the Pac-12 decide that they're bagging it, that they're not going to play until the spring, and then the SEC and the ACC and the Big 12 decide to go ahead, somebody's going to end up a winner in this and somebody's going to end up a loser in this, no matter which way it goes. Because you think about it, if the conferences that decide to play go through and then there's a terrible outbreak and they have to shut it down or they have to piece it together like baseball's having to do right now because of the Cardinals, then they're going to everybody on the side that shut it down is going to say, "See, we told you so." And then on the other hand, if they're able to make it through relatively unscathed, then the ones who shut it down are going to wind up looking bad for not going through and playing. And so this is going to have an effect on recruiting. It's going to have an effect on, you know, how to schedule games. There's a serious domino effect. And it still remains to be seen who's going to end up winning in this and who's going to end up losing in this based on their decisions.
And George, I think that I would be surprised, Terry, if it got that far. What I think could happen is you could see the Big Ten first, then maybe the Pac-12 a couple of days later or a day later, and then maybe a week later or so the others jump on. I can't see two or three staying in and the others not. It just there's the national championship now is a total different world. I would bet before it's all said and done they all end up doing the same thing. Now it just might take longer to get that done is what I think. But you're right, Terry. If honestly the ones that pull out, even if they're wrong, they're not going to be got on bad because you're doing it to protect the kids. I really like the Mac saying, this isn't about money. We're doing this. Yeah, we're going to lose some money, but we're doing this because of the kids, and we're really worried about taking care of them. So I think if the Mac and if the Big Ten and the Pac-12, George, pulled out and then they were able to play, they would catch some grief, but it would be a lot worse on the others if they stay in and then there is another wave of issues. Then I think they'd really catch some grief.
Well, I'm with you there.
Yeah.
So, as we know, a couple of the big stars in college football, sort of the poster child, Trevor Lawrence, the quarterback at Clemson, has tweeted out, you know, we want to play, let us play. Jim Harbaugh has come out with, we got to play. And, you know, they've sort of petitioned Donald Trump looking for his help in this. Do you all believe, and Watson, I'll start this with you, do you believe that any of this will factor into the ultimate decisions?
No, I don't think so. I mean, you've got players that are saying they want to play. You've got players that have pulled out. It's on both sides of it. I really believe when it comes down to it, they're just if they pull out, it's totally because they just are afraid of what the problems that they would have by staying in and just feel uncomfortable protecting the kids. I really believe, George, that'll be the bottom line if they pull out. I don't think – they're weighing that money, they're weighing the money, but when it comes down to it, and if you notice, the Big Ten threw up the first flag by not letting them start pad practice. And when they did that, I said, uh-oh, look out. Because they play early, don't they, in their open week, in their first game, that first week of September?
I think you're right.
I think I'm right. They're the ones that are playing early, and they're the first ones to say, we're not going to let our players put pads on at this point. So I just think as it gets closer, the concern with these presidents, and it is presidents talking to their ADs and coaches, I'm sure, but presidents got to make the call, and they just get to that point, and they don't see this thing getting better. It's calmed down a little bit in some states, but it's not going down yet, and it's gotten worse in a lot of the Midwestern states. And guess where a lot of those Big Ten schools are? Right in the Midwestern states. So I just think that's the reason.
How much do you guys feel like that this you know, that they are deathly afraid of lawsuits and things like that if they go forward and something happens to a player or a coach because they went forward.
I think there's a bunch of that because, you know, it's not like there isn't data out there that says this is really dangerous. I mean, I don't think it takes, you know, an absolute rocket scientist to say, football, real collision sport. You know, this isn't baseball where you have natural social distancing. Watson, football looks like a poster child to spread coronavirus.
Oh, yeah, George. And the thing that's shocked us all, including we three, is how this thing has took off again. We had all felt, man, we get to the summer, it's going to back off. And if anything, it went the other way. And I just think it's gotten everybody's attention. This is serious stuff. We've had over 300,000, or they think we could get up by the end of summer, up to 300,000 people die from it. So it's getting a lot of people's attention. And the thought of putting those guys out there, even in practice against each other, George, and knocking each other down and sweating and getting up and doing it again and getting up and doing it again and getting up and doing it again. And
yeah.
I mean, there's 80 plays a game on both sides of the ball, not counting special teams plays. So, yeah, I think you're dead on. And if you remember, the NC2A guys came out in their last little thing of protocol they put out. They said there will be no signing waivers that freeze the university, that gives the university freedom, and that the students don't have a right, or the parents don't have a right, to sue the university. If you saw that, that was in that protocol. And the second thing that was in that got my attention, if there is an issue with this in hospitals and doctors and everything's with these kids when they go in, if their insurance doesn't cover it, the university has to do that. That's two big pieces right there, George, that was put in by the NC2A that wasn't there 2 months ago.
Yeah. Terry, a couple of other notes before we go to our first break. Old Dominion became the second Division I school that has said, we're canceling fall football. They did this earlier today. They announced this. UConn had been the first. They did it about a week ago, and we knew there were big money troubles at UConn. I think Old Dominion just said, we're going to stop the charade. We're not playing.
Yeah, it sounds that way. Did you see also that MTSU added a game with Army?
I did.
That's interesting.
Which is that's a preparation nightmare. 1 week to prepare for Army's triple option. Ooh, that's not a game I'd want to play, Watson.
I've done that so many times. I can't count the number of games. I know we were 6-0 against them at UAB. That was six times. So, and then I know Vanderbilt a few. I can't count all the times I've played the different. I know I've played Air Force at Rice. And I'm telling you, every one of them ran the same offense. It's not a fun thing to prepare for at all. We did some of that always in our offense. So it wasn't as hard for us to prepare as it was for some of the other teams. So, isn't guys Old Dominion in Conference USA?
Yes.
And so now we've had a Conference USA school pull out, an independent pull out, and a conference pull out of the FBS. So, interesting times.
Next story. Honk if you have heard somebody you know put this one out here. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, good reporter, put out earlier today that if college football bags it, get ready for pro football to play Saturday games. Terry, he's about 5 months behind me on this.
He really is. You were the one of the first, maybe the first, to throw out the fact that if the colleges wind up bagging the Saturday slots, that the NFL would more than gladly come to the rescue and take over those time slots.
So I'm going to tell you how this is going to go, and you can take this to the bank and book it. This is a book it.
Wow. Yes.
You ready? Terry, with all of these, you know, if there is no college football, clearly there will be a thirst around the country to get as much football as is humanly possible. The NFL has decided that when they throw up their shield, the NFL shield, that the coronavirus will simply hit it and go away. Okay, now I have no idea.
George.
Right. I have no idea how they think that's going to work, but here's what they're going to do. And you can take this to the bank and you can book it.
Is this the first book it of the pandemic?
Well, sort of. It's a strong one, Terry.
We're starting the list now.
Yes. There will be a noon game, Nashville time. There will be a 3:30 game, Nashville time. And there will be a 7:15 game, Nashville time. It's made a lot easier by the fact that it doesn't look like there are going to be any fans at games in the NFL. So it's not as though fans are being, you know, pushed aside while Big Bad Bully TV takes over. And what I think they'll do, Terry, is the NFL, in its infinite grab of money, thank you. Yes, that was a good sign there. Kind of a good hint. What they'll do is they'll go to Fox and CBS and ESPN and say, okay, we're going to give each one of you one of these Saturday games in return for a nominal fee.
A nominal fee.
Void where prohibited by law.
You may be onto something.
Oh, Terry.
You may not be incorrect on this.
Oh, Terry. Trust me, I am not incorrect on this one. This is a strong book it. Okay? This is better than any gifts to the people, better than any underdog pick book it. This is DEFCON 5 book it.
No Las Vegas line either, wrong on.
Oh, no. No, this is...
So, George, do you think there will be six games then? You're talking about one on Fox and one on CBS, right?
I think there'll be three.
Both stations, both networks will grab this? Because they already both are NFL networks, right?
ESPN will be the third network.
And so you think they'll pass it through all three?
Yeah, what they'll do is give each network... a Saturday game.
So they wouldn't put it against. They wouldn't do it like they do Sunday, where if it's in your area, you see this game. If it's in this area, they wouldn't go that far, correct?
They'll put three games on Saturday, go with somewhere between 9 and 11 or 12. Well, okay, I'm going to assume there will be a Thursday night game because that also is a big money ticket item. You've got your Saturday triple header that I've told you to book, your Sunday games, and of course your Monday night game.
This is basically their playoff once college football's done. They do this during their playoff season.
December.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a fun time.
Mm-hmm.
George, do you think that this is possible even if there's a partial college football season? And by that I mean if, say, the SEC and the ACC are the only ones of the Power Five that are playing. Don't you think the NFL would try to swoop in and take some of the time slots anyway? Maybe not directly compete with the colleges, but knowing that there's plenty of airtime available with two or three conferences not playing.
Terry, I don't think they're allowed to, and I'm going to tell you why. I didn't know this. There is something called the Sports Broadcasting Act of 1961.
We all know this. Come on. That's a joke. Never heard of this.
Okay, I hadn't either. When this was passed nearly 60 years ago, Congress gave the NFL an antitrust exemption for its broadcasting rights under the condition that the league would not schedule games on Saturday during the college football season or on Fridays during the high school football season. I didn't know that. I'd never heard that until earlier today.
Interesting.
Yeah.
George, I thought of quickly a little devil's advocate here. What if the Big 10 and the Pac-12 were to pull out, and then those other three sit there and say, let's grab this money, and let's take Fox, I guess it does Big 10, correct?
Yeah.
Let's take that money from the Big 10 and let's put SEC game right there in some slots, and or an ACC game or whatever. Do you think that would be a possibility?
You know, if you can work it out with the health gods.
If they're going to do it, they're going to do it. So if you're going to do it,
right,
if you stick to your piece and we're going to play,
yeah,
I wouldn't think that commissioner would be sitting there not making that call. Or somebody
right.
may call the commissioners and say, hey, guys, would you all be interested in filling these slots?
And to me, this is a chance for a Conference USA, an AAC, or a Sun Belt to ring up the TV networks and say, hey, some football is better than none. You know, if the Pac-12 isn't going to play, if the Big Ten isn't going to play, we'll gladly fill those time slots.
Yeah. Here are two games that are going on right now in the NBA. Oklahoma City leads Phoenix 46-41 about midway through the second quarter. Phoenix is the one undefeated team in the NBA. Nobody saw that coming. And Dallas leads Utah 19-16 about midway through the first quarter. Mets starting pitcher Marcus Stroman, who has been hurt, has announced that he is opting out for the season. We will go to our first break, and when we come back, we will discuss the Nashville Predators, and this won't be real pretty. Stick around. You're listening to WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Blair, what about my medical bills?
They'll all be taken care of through the settlement.
What about me?
You worry about getting better. Do what your doctor tells you. We'll take care of the rest.
What a relief.
Mark Durham Injury Law, 615-242-9000.
Today we decided to walk to school. At the corner, we waited to cross the street. The stoplight counted down. 15, 14,
41, 31, 13.
We took a left on Carroll Garden Street.
Garden Street?
Loud music was coming from a car. Danny's a smart kid, but he gets so distracted.
There were so many other sounds, I didn't know what to focus on.
Danny, Earth to Danny. Suddenly, he realized he forgot his homework again.
I left my homework on the table.
At the school steps, we hugged goodbye. I really hope he doesn't have another bad day at school today.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's Understood.org, a free online resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Get personalized recommendations, practical tips, daily access to experts, and more. Go from misunderstanding to understood.org. Brought to you by Understood and the Ad Council.
I'm Blair Durham from Bart Durham Injury Law. We are open 24/7. Our team is working remotely so that we can stay connected during these times. We can get to work for you without a face-to-face meeting. We will get through this together. Our firm has been here 50 years and plan on 50 more. During scary times like these, we have to stay connected. Check out our social media to see how we can help our community and friends. I'm Blair Durham. We will get through this together.
Hey, Bill King here to talk about the Omni Nashville Hotel like you've heard me do so many times. Bar line specifically here. New summer hours, 11 a.m. to 1 a.m. Delicious food and drink. Bourbon barbecue chicken wings. Also the Bear Bowls burger and everything else you're going to love on that menu. Remember, the Omni is also the location of Commitments Year Number 3, which is December 16th. Bar lines at the Omni Nashville Hotel, 5th Avenue, downtown.
Are you struggling to feed your family? If your family gets free or reduced price school meals, you may qualify to receive money for groceries through the PEBT program. Visit TennesseeMeals.com or call 866-311-4287. The deadline is soon. That's TennesseeMeals.com, 866-311-4287. Brought to you by this station, the Tennessee Justice Center, and the Tennessee Department of Human Services.
Well, not going to hear that one for a while. And by the way, it looks like about the earliest they would play a next season would be December. Oh, and by the way, tonight at 5 o'clock, the draft lottery comes up in the NHL, and I guess the Predators are one of those teams now that could get the number one pick. The odds are not very good, but nonetheless, that is out there to put out there. So, it's over. Nobody's particularly happy about it. Watson, to me, the bells that have been ringing in my head for a long time go like this. Something is not right in their locker room.
Well, something is not right, and you're probably right. It starts in every locker room. And, George, I wonder, to throw this piece out, because I don't know that we've ever discussed this piece, I wonder if Pecorini has always been one of the leaders of this team. I would say Shea Weber was here and he's gone, Pekka stayed leader. Subban gone, Pekka stays leader. He's been maybe the main leader, and inconsistency, go-to, and then all of a sudden, and I'm not saying it was wrong to bench him at all, but that could change your dynamics a little bit right there. And he's sitting there, he's watching, he's not being a problem, but he can't be the same leader that he is when he's out there making plays. Do you think there's anything to that possibility?
Oh, I don't rule any possibility out. And look, it's not like I'm there every day covering this team as all this goes along. But I can also tell you that the people that do cover this team, they don't have any more of a clue of what's wrong in the locker room than I do. They all have suspicions. We all have gut feelings. None of us have any proof whatsoever. So, Terry, let me turn this part to you, because I've been a little bit of a smart aleck about this, where I've said, look, it's not my job to figure out what their locker room problems are. But it is David Poyle's job to figure it out, and I don't think that that has been done. Now, that they may be as clueless about this as I am, but at the end of the season, I think it's very important that he and John Hines and one or two of whatever the player leaders really are speak to each other in very open, pulling no punches. What is wrong with this team? To me, those are the meetings that are going to have to solve this issue.
Absolutely. I mean, they've got to get to the bottom of this. I mean, they fired Peter Laviolette, and I think part of that, you know, I know you said, George, you thought they had kind of tuned his message out. But I think the other part of that is you can't fire 25 players, so you have to fire the coach. So, you know, to me, that was a warning signal fired by David Poyle to say, hey, straighten up or there's going to be changes. And since they didn't wind up straightening up, I mean, it worked for a little bit, but when it really counted here against Arizona in this series this past week, you know, it was too little too late. They didn't play until it was too late, it seemed like, in a couple of those games. So, to me, I think, first of all, you got to find out who or what the problem is. And if that means it's time to overhaul this thing and get younger and faster, then, you know, we may be in for, you know, a couple of rebuilding years while they retool this thing.
Watson, see if you buy this, because you've been in the coaching world. You and I don't know what it is in their locker room that ails them, but we've both been around sports enough where we're kind of saying, something doesn't look right. Something doesn't feel right. Are you with me on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm with you on that. And don't you think our new coach will be right in the middle of this? I would think he's been around, Coach Hines has been around long enough now to where he's going to have his thoughts and exactly what he thinks is what we need to do here. And it's going to be real interesting to watch and see. When you watch them play, and you're much more of a hockey guy than me, I'm learning as I go, but you watch them and you can't even say what it is. You know, if we could sit here right now and Jordan say, it's this, we're not that, I don't know that I could say anything other than I just don't see what I saw in that year that we were good. And even before that, when I first became a fan, the toughness of the teams, the aggressiveness and the toughness of the teams is what stuck out to me. I'd leave the arena saying, buddy, you come here to play this bunch, they will flat get after you. And I haven't said that about this team. I didn't really say it about last year's team. So I don't know. But, yes, I do think there's some issues. And I'd be shocked if there's not just a guy here or there. There isn't overhaul. I hope it's not, Terry, where we have to completely rebuild. But you might be right. I don't know. I don't know how that would work. I don't know if we could trade some of these guys and get this what we want more out of the trade. I don't know, George. Where are the contracts of a lot of these guys?
That will be after the break.
Okay.
Okay. First thing I got to do is let you in on a tad bit of breaking news. ESPN is reporting that the Pac-12 will vote tomorrow, and the belief is that the Pac-12 will kiss fall football goodbye.
Oh, boy. I thought it'd be this week.
Yeah.
I thought it would be. I thought this – you can't hold your players out if you've got games coming and not let them practice, George, and put pads on. And now the Pac-12 has a few more weeks than the Big Ten. That's why the Big Ten may even beat them tomorrow to the punch. I'm not sure.
Well, guys, here's another unintended consequence of all this. For these teams, for these conferences and these teams that are going to play football in the spring, I guarantee you that the families of these players who are going to be a first or second round pick and their stock can only go down or they can only run a risk of getting injured, you will not see them suit up and play football in March and April.
I call that a book it.
I do too.
I think you're right.
If that happened, Trevor Lawrence has played his last down as a Clemson Tiger.
Right.
You know, and Mac's quarterback is just a freshman, so that might be a plus to go to spring for those guys. Everybody in the ACC, you get Lawrence out of the middle of that back, there's no telling then who would be favored to win the thing.
Right. All of a sudden, you sort of tighten things up a little bit. Watson, I want to go back on the Predators stuff for just a second. Then we're going to go to the break, and then we'll get into where this either is going to go or isn't going to go. So John Hines cannot be held, in my mind, responsible for the disappointment. Okay, he's been on campus for a few months. He's inherited whatever stench there was, and I think there was a bunch, before Laviolette got shown the door. If we all remember, in December and early January, it got so bad that people like me were yelling and screaming. They weren't even competitive in their home games, getting the crap kicked out of them for about a 4 or 5 game stretch at home. So, Watson, how sure are you that Hines has been there long enough that deep down he knows what the issue is?
I just think he's got to, George. He's got to get in the middle of this. You can't just close your eyes as the coach and let him go. I think he's been there long enough. He had plenty of games with him there for a while. Then he had preseason practice all over again for what was it, 3 weeks? 2 weeks or 3 weeks? I can't remember. And now he's gone through, in essence, a playoff deal with Arizona. And call it what you want, but that to me was just like you're in the playoffs right there. Winner goes, loser goes home. I think he will. I think he'll get majorly involved. Be disappointed, I'll say this. I'll be disappointed if he doesn't. I'm not sure he's the right guy for the job if he didn't get right in the middle of this.
Terry, do you think he knows enough right now to tell Poile, who I don't think knows what the issue is, David, yeah, here's what it is?
Yeah, I think so. I really do. I don't think it really takes that long, and I'll go back to an example that goes back to my childhood. When Billy Martin was first hired as a Yankee manager, it was in the middle of the 75 season when they had canned Bill Virdon. There were only probably 20 or 30 games, if that much, left in the season, I believe. But what he did when he came in during that time was he started making mental notes and evaluations of every player in that dugout, every player in that locker room. And then he went to Gabe Paul, the general manager, and said, these are the guys that I want. These are the guys that I think we need to move. And that's how, and that was one of the keys as to how they retooled and won the pennant next year. The first guy that they shipped out was Bobby Bonds, who went to the Angels for Mickey Rivers and Ed Figueroa.
Terry,
I think John Hines already knows enough to know who he wants to build with and who he wants to move on.
And Terry, I'm old enough to know that not only did Billy Martin give Gabe Paul that list, but he told Gabe Paul, why don't you meet Art Fowler and I in the bar for a couple of post-game toddies?
Yes, that probably happened.
No doubt about it. That, folks, is a book it. We'll go to the break at 2:39, and we'll talk more about the Predators and where this mess is headed.
The Southern Air Market combines the hospitality of a New Orleans-style neighborhood grocery with the convenience of a New York City bodega to cater to the needs of downtown Nashville residents and visitors. Located in the Pinnacle Building on Demumbrian and 2nd Avenue next to its sister property, the Southern Steak and Oyster, the Southern Air Market is the first of its kind in the burgeoning SoBro neighborhood. Drop by to choose from shelves stocked with locally sourced sundry goods and produce. A butcher counter full of fresh meat and seafood, French pressed coffee, made-to-order paninis, and a bevy of craft brews by the bottle. Don't want to leave the house or office? We also deliver at the Southern Air. Find us on DeliveryDudes.com and OrderUp.com. The Southern Air Market is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., and Sundays from noon to 5:30. To learn more, visit SouthernAirMarket.com or call 615-490-8077.
George Plaster and Watson Brown to talk with you about a friend of ours, Jody Jones Dentistry. And Watson, we've both visited this beautiful new studio he has in the Music Row area. Man, it is spectacular.
It sure is. And I've known Jody George since he was a kid. His mom and dad, Doug and Lucy, are as good of friends as I have. It was an honor to coach Jody at Vanderbilt. And Jody was one of those tough guys, very smart, highly competitive, unbelievable work ethic. It does not surprise me that he's had a wonderful dentist practice as he does.
22 years worth, and it includes cosmetic dentistry, veneers, crowns, laser bleaching, and they have a hygiene department with microscope technology. If you want an appointment, you simply call them at 615-259-5100 or go on their website, jodyjonesdds.com.
This August, you could win $20,000.
$20,000.
Or even $200,000.
$200,000.
Introducing two new instant games with two ways to play.
Two ways to play.
And two ways to win.
Two ways to win.
Double match and double match bonus.
Double match and double match bonus.
Double the fun. Double the chances. Double the cash. Double match and double match bonus. Only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
Get ready to get your game on with the Tennessee Lottery and fill up your day with fun. Like when you need to upgrade the fun on that road trip. When you could use a little did I just win $50 fun.
Woo, yeah!
Or when you like to add a side of fun to that next snack.
Wow, that's good.
Would you like some fun with that?
Well, yeah.
Then play the Tennessee Lottery. And for just a dollar or two, you can get your game on. Please remember, play responsibly.
Lynch Tree Service has been helping Middle Tennesseans for more than 25 years. Whether you need tree pruning and maintenance, stump grinding, or even land clearing, Lynch Tree Service is here to help. Their number one priority is to provide customers with the best tree services possible at an extremely competitive price. For more info, give them a call at 615-444-4676 or look them up on the web at lynchtreeservice.com.
Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM has been your home for sports for 20 years. From typewriters to Twitter, fax machines to Facebook, we have you covered 24/7 and on the go. Finding us online is as easy as at Nash Sports Radio. Twitter, at Nash Sports Radio. SoundCloud, at Nash Sports Radio. Facebook, at Nash Sports Radio. Or search your app store for WNSR. 20 years of sports. Anytime, anywhere. From Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
Yeah, well, you're not going to hear that for a while. Predators got bounced in four by the Arizona Coyotes, and now the question becomes, what next? And a couple of things. First of all, I don't think they played as bad as 3-1 in a four-game series looks. Don't think they were particularly lucky. I'm not using that as an excuse. I don't think they had a lot of luck go on their end. They had an incredibly boneheaded play by Matt Duchene that cost them dearly. And frankly, from the moment he didn't give a damn enough to stay on sides, this whole thing went south in a big old hurry. Because of the run that they made 3 years ago to the Stanley Cup Final, they've got some people signed up long-term that are going to be difficult to move. Terry, you begin with Kyle Turris, sort of the Predators' B.J. Upton. He's been a disaster here, and they're going to have to, at some point, bite the bullet on this guy and just say, you need a change of scenery, we need a change of scenery, and you're out of here.
Yeah. It is, you think it's a situation where they may have to pay somebody to take part of his salary to take him off their hands?
Well, do you remember how the Braves got rid of B.J. Upton?
Refresh my memory.
Well, they did a deal, and I want to say it was 2014. B.J. Upton, they'd signed along with Justin Upton to huge deals. And this was all part of the Frank Wren regime, which was a blithering disaster. So B.J. Upton has a year where he hits about 175 as a starting center fielder, and they're paying him huge money. What they did, they said to the San Diego Padres, if you will take this guy off our hands, we'll throw in a little Christmas present for you named Craig Kimbrell, who nice. at that time was a lights-out reliever. I think what's going to have to happen here is that financially they're going to have to bite the bullet and just say, look, you need a change of scenery. We need a change of scenery. This hadn't worked. See ya.
It may be very well be the case. Who's next on your hit list?
Well, I think Craig Smith and Granlund are two that I would say are less than 50-50 to be here next year. I don't see, first of all, no way in my mind are both back. One of the two, perhaps. Here's one where they've got to, I think, really get down and dirty. They got to call Matt Duchene in and basically say, listen, if it'd been up to that idiot George Plaster, you wouldn't have played on Friday. Now, in fairness to Matt Duchene, he played pretty well Friday, which doubly pissed me off because I'm like, why didn't we see this throughout this series? It was only when he got his butt backed into a corner because of the stupid play he had committed on Wednesday that he finally came with what I would consider a plus effort and plus production on Friday. He's a guy I think you got to call in and say, listen, we are paying you a buttload of money, and you are not giving us the kind of return on our investment that a guy making your money should be giving. I think you have to get down and dirty with him and just say, this isn't good enough.
You may very well be correct on that. I mean, because you're right. He's a guy that is one of their cornerstone pieces. They brought him in here to complete this run that they had hoped to make, and then it just fell apart this year. So I got to believe that there is going to be a come-to-Jesus meeting for Mr. Duchesne.
Watson, here are a couple other that I throw out there. Ryan Johansson's name gets rumored a lot in trade discussions, and I don't pretend to know exactly why, but given past history, I think his name will come up some more. It would not shock me if they view Johansson as a trade piece to perhaps restock, get younger, whatever. I wouldn't rule out that he's not back with them.
Oh, I think you're right. I think he's in the – I would put him most definitely on this side over here as trade bait. And I know you're going to throw a second one, but let me go back to the one I said. Doesn't it start with Pekka?
That was my second one. Okay. So, Watson,
I think that's where it starts.
Yeah.
George. You can't – the guy's still got ability. He's going to play somewhere and be the goalie for somebody. He's not done yet. I know he's getting up there. But I just don't think he's done. And you can't keep him. You can't keep both of them now, not at this point, in my opinion. One of them's got to go.
So,
and I don't think it's going to be Soros. I just don't.
Yeah. So it seems to me, Watson, that a meeting with Pekka is a lot different meeting than a meeting with Duchesne. Okay? If I'm meeting with Duchesne, I am making very clear to him that I am royally pissed off with what went on Wednesday, with his lack of responsibility as a veteran. That what went on in that play is unacceptable, completely unacceptable. And for the money they're paying him, they didn't get a lot in return. Now, with Pekka, to me, this is more of a lifetime achievement award. This is more of a, Pekka, you tell us what it is you really want. Would you like a fresh start? Would you like to be put in the expansion draft? What would you like? Because I think he has earned the right to tell them a little bit of what he wants.
100% has the right. And I'm not sure Pekka won't go to them first. That it might be he that creates, guys, I need a break here. I'm not ready to sit the bench. And it may be him first to go to them. Just from listening to you all talk about his personality, I'm not sure that wouldn't be what he would do. But you can't leave it like it went through this year, in my opinion. That's too much on the plate for the whole team to try to use. Just because I think he's not just been a really good player here, George. He's been one of the leaders all the way through. With this franchise, and something's got to give.
So, Terry, the tough conversation in the next 10 days has to be something you put out there earlier. Do we have to take a couple of steps back to get back to where this franchise wants to be, and is this going to require being truthful with a fan base the way the Braves were truthful? You know, around 2015 when they said, we're going to suck for a while. We're going to be really bad. And yet when we come out of it, we intend to be really good. Poile has not had a great couple of years as a GM. And the onus is going to be on him to fix this. the gun's going to be aimed at him some.
No, you're exactly right. That's what I was just about to ask you, is if you thought that maybe for the first time in franchise history, he's on the hot seat a little bit to get this thing turned around. And to me, if I'm David Poyle and I feel any sort of hot seat feeling whatsoever, then tearing it down a little bit and rebuilding might be the best answer, because it's evident that if you keep going with this same old group and you don't retool or do anything like that this off season, then you're only going to get similar results to what you've had the last couple of years, which means an early exit from the playoffs and more fan dissatisfaction. I think this franchise is at a point with their fan base now where they've built up enough goodwill with the run of 3 years ago and, you know, another pretty decent run the year after that, that the fans will accept a little bit of a falling off if they know your intent is to rebuild it back to a level where it was or maybe even beyond.
Stop there, Terry.
Okay.
You've said it all, only because I got to go to a break. When we open the phones at 3:20, I hope some of you will get in on this discussion. We'll wrap up hour number one when we come back.
Blair, what about my medical bills?
They'll all be taken care of through the settlement.
What about me?
You worry about getting better. Do what your doctor tells you. We'll take care of the rest.
What a relief.
Mark Durham Injury Law, 615-242-9000.
Have you ever wanted to learn a new language like French, Spanish, or Russian, but thought it would be too difficult and time-consuming? Then try Babbel. Text TRY to 484848 and try it for free. Babbel works because it's built around real life. It teaches you everyday practical conversations that you will actually use. In 15 minutes a day, you'll be on your way to speaking a new language in just a few weeks. Babbel uses a modern conversation-based technique that makes language engaging, fun, and memorable. It starts by teaching you words and phrases. Then, sentences gradually get more complex. Soon, you're practicing short conversations about real-life topics. Babbel is created by language experts who use the spaced repetition method to help you learn quickly and remember what you learned. With Babbel, you can speak a new language. Babbel, language for life. Now try Babbel free. Just text TRY to 484848 and start learning a new language today. That's TRY to 484848. T-R-Y to 484848.
Attention homeowners that have ever had a broken appliance. That's a joke, right? We've all had broken appliances. I own a home just like you, and have found a way for as little as a dollar a day to have all the major appliances in my home on a warranty plan. They're guaranteed to be fixed or replaced. You know how expensive an air conditioner, the heating system, a washing machine, dryer, water heater, or refrigerator can be. For about a dollar a day, all your major appliances are protected in case they break. Unless you're Daddy Warbucks or the Monopoly guy and you don't care about money, call my friends at the Home Service Club now and get a warranty on your major appliances. It's a free call, and the first month is free. But be one of the first 25 people to call within the next 10 minutes.
800-870-6217. 800-870-6217. 800-870-6217. That's 800-870-6217.
It is an uncertain time for us all. But kids in foster care have always known an uncertain future. Now, more than ever, we see what it means to truly connect with others in a way we didn't fully appreciate through the simple little things we do. It's those little things that also make a big difference to a kid in foster care, to help them become all they were meant to be. During a time when taking care of each other is by far most important, Youth Villages Foster Care asks that you consider opening your home to these young people who are without one. To keep us all safe and healthy during this time, Youth Villages is offering virtual presentations with information to address your thoughts and questions about fostering a child. Learn how you can become a foster parent at youthvillages.org/foster. Youth Villages, foster a little hope. Brought to you by Youth Villages in cooperation with this station and the Tennessee Association of Broadcasters.
thinking about buying a home or refinancing? Lori Burnett Leland at MortgageLadyUSA.com can help. Listen to what other folks are saying about their experience. John in Birmingham says, quote, Lori helped me walk through each stage of the loan process and ensured I was comfortable with every step we made. She shared her wealth of knowledge and fielded all of my questions regarding my very first home purchase. She's the best. With the power of USA Lending behind her and over 50 different bank options, Lori Burnett Leland wants to be your mortgage lady. Call her today at 615-969-4350 or visit MortgageLadyUSA.com. Equal housing opportunity, One Vantage Way, Nashville, Tennessee, NMLS number 1088591 and 45370. Licensed in Tennessee, Alabama, and Georgia.
Get all your NASCAR news every weekday right here on The Final Lap. Hey, it's Kerry Murphy, and Kevin Harvick swept the weekend at Michigan, winning both races. Astonishing. Up next, something a little different. Road course racing from the infield at Daytona. So grab all the latest NASCAR news, race recaps, driver interviews.
Okay, during the 3 o'clock, Chris Lee is going to join us. We're going to read a statement that SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey put out about 5 minutes ago, and then we will open the phones at 3:20 for what ought to be a busy 3 o'clock hour. Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to WNSR.